today's theme is watch. And we had that in our lesson in Habakkuk, where Habakkuk said, I'm going to stand up and watch on the wall. I'm going to look for the trouble that's coming to the church. And I want to alert our families in our church of all that's happening in the government and in the nation. And we talked about that yesterday in Bible study and men's breakfast. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. But the point is that Jesus warns us to wake up and watch. Now, you are all early birds here, right? That's why you're here at the early service. You don't have a hard time waking up early in the morning, right, doctor? Not a bit. Yeah, no problem. Oh, now don't point fingers at others. Some people wouldn't dream of coming to 8 o'clock service, even if it was like they had to come to it. It's like, oh, do we really need to? Some people just have a different body clock, right? It's just different. And some people hate the alarm clock. Do you guys need an alarm clock to wake up early or not?
No.
Oh, you do. You don't. Okay. So we all have different body clocks and rhythms in our body. And some wake up with the roosters and the sun, you know, and raring to go. Others, I've learned this at work, do not talk to some people until about 11 o'clock in the morning. You can't bring up anything. You've got to wait 3 hours because they're not ready yet to bring up anything important to work. So, okay, half the day's over. Can you talk now? Can we talk now? So anyway, some people just go through life sleepy all the time. It's like, that's always a challenge. But the point is, Jesus looks at us spiritually, and he's calling out to his disciples and anybody who would care to listen and be part of his kingdom to always keep watch. Because there's always something going on around us, right? And I don't know how many times I've been caught flat-footed. I wasn't expecting that. I wasn't ready for that, right? It's like a team. Sometimes you can see it happening when you're watching on TV. You can just feel the momentum changing. They go, somebody better be guarding that guy because he's wide open. And it's not going to look good. And we can see it. And you wonder, why can't they see it? They're paid all the big bucks. Why can't they see what we can see, you know? And for one reason or other, they'll have blinders on and not see. So Jesus says, please keep your eyes open spiritually. Look around what's going on. Look around what God's doing. Look around what I'm doing as your Savior. But also look around what the devil's doing and what other people are doing. So that's the basic theme for this text for today is keep an eye open. Remember when you were a kid and one of your parents, mom or dad, would say, I'm keeping an eye on you, or a teacher, I'm keeping an eye on you, right? That can be a bad thing, or your parents can say, now don't worry, I'm watching out for you. That's a good thing for us, right? Okay, I know that someone's watching out for my best interest. And how sad it is that we have so many kids that I see that don't have parents that are watching out for their kids. Oh my goodness, I just sometimes want to scream at these parents and shake them. I can't do that as a social worker, but I'd sure like to. Not that this goes out all over the internet. But anyway, it gets very frustrating because these parents haven't parented themselves, don't know how to watch out for others and for their children. So that's the basic theme here. So let's look at it here in Luke 12. Jesus said, be dressed ready for service and keep your lamps burning. I remember when I worked as a room service waiter and I was going to seminary. And one time, I forget what happened, I had an emergency or something, and I had to run to work, and I'm trying to get dressed with my black outfit while I'm going to work, and I'm coming into the kitchen, and I'm getting dressed, and others were going crazy. It was Labor Day weekend, that's what it was. It was Labor Day weekend, nobody wanted to be there. And our boss, wouldn't you know, that would be the time he comes in. Every other time I'm dressed, I'm prepared, ready to go. The one time, I'm not ready, and he catches me. They go, well, Jesus says we need to be always dressed and ready. Ready to go. And that's another thing. Some people take forever to get dressed. Right? Like, come on. And others are ready to go. Jesus says, be dressed and ready to go. He says, always be ready. So he uses this allegory of being dressed and keep your lamps burning. Well, in those days, they didn't have a switch. You couldn't just go over and turn on a switch for light. It took some preparation. You had to have the oil. You had to have the lamp. And you'd make sure it was always lit. And if in the middle of the day, or the middle of the evening, rather, and you need more light, and you aren't prepared, whoop, there goes your light source. You got a power outage, right? So it was up to you to have enough oil, which was very important in that day, as they were like their economic bartering was a lot of times olive oil, so that you had to have enough oil to keep your lamps burning. And a lot of songs in the old Christian era talked about keeping your lamps burning, keeping the light shining, right? And keeping this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Because the Bible, all through it, Old and New Testament, compares to the love, the joy, the faith, the hope that we have, like a burning light inside our heart that shines in us and shines through our heart through our face, the people see something in our faces, right? They say, well, there's a glow about that person. There's something about them, right? They radiate love in the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus says, keep your lamps burning. In other words, keep your light on. Keep your power source. Keep dressed, because he's warning us that things can happen, and he doesn't want us to be kept to be caught off guard. He says, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, and he will have them recline at the table and will come and wait on them. Quite a promise here. Here the idea is that God, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is gone. And he's gone to this banquet. And they would have these long wedding banquets that would last, a wedding reception could last 2 weeks. Can you imagine? Either as a worker, being a caterer for a two-week-long reception, all the food you had to have, but also as a participant, 2 weeks of partying. Sounds pretty good, right? Wow. They knew how to party. But here, it's like the boss is gone. He's out of town for a wedding reception. And sometimes they would start the part of the feast in the middle of the night. It'd be a watch, waiting for the bridegroom to come for his bride, right? So people would be, they would line the streets near the reception area with torches to get ready for the groom. And so they'd watch and say, oh, he's coming. And he'd come in the middle of the night for his bride, and then the celebration would begin, the wedding and the wedding reception. But if you were in charge as an usher to light the way, and your light goes out again, another illustration of the light going out, the boss is not happy with those caterers if they're not prepared for the reception. It's like making all the preparations, and then when it comes for the great event, this great banquet, and the caterers aren't ready. Oh, the lights went out. Oh, sorry. The boss would not be happy. So the illustration here is that Jesus is gone for a long time, and he comes back, and we're not exactly sure when he's coming back, how long the wedding's going to be, and what time it's over. And he wouldn't tell his employees when he's coming back. Just be ready when I come back. That would be his last instructions. Well, what if he takes longer than expected? Some people weren't ready. But the people who kept ready all the time said, well, we don't know when he's coming, so we better be... And not like when the mouse away, when the cat's away, the mice will play, right? It's like, we want to be ready all the time, and we want to be just prepared, because we never know when he's coming. And those who were faithful and diligent in their work would be rewarded. And here, get this promise. This is interesting. I heard one pastor in my doctoral program talk about this. He said, look, it says Jesus, God himself, will dress himself to serve and will wait on us and serve us because we are so faithful. Not that we deserve it. So, and you think about how many times God comes to serve us, right? The crucified Savior, the servant, Jesus, who washed his disciples' feet, kneels down in humility and serves you and cares for you with his tender mercy and grace. That's pretty awesome. And that's the promise that the mighty God, the King of kings and Lord of lords, will stoop down and serve us as we recline for the one who's faithful. Now those who, not a good story for those who are not faithful, who fall asleep on the job literally. And that's what we have to look at next. But it says before that, verse 38, it will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. And that's true, right? If we knew ahead of time all the bad things were happening, we wouldn't let them happen. So we're called to be watchful. He says, you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. We talked about this yesterday in our Bubba breakfast. Powerful, kind of heavy topic after all that bacon. We had some heavy discussion there yesterday about the end of the world and history. Pastor Rick, of course, was not there, the history major, about all these different kingdoms of coming and this troublesome vision that Daniel has, where he was so wiped out that he was exhausted, he was sick, he was pale after he had this vision of the end of the world and all these kingdoms are going to destroy people. And I had like claws like teeth and iron and the Romans and the Greco-Persian, and all these different kingdoms. And then the end's going to come, and the even believers are going to have a hard time. But the end of it, it talked yesterday in Daniel, that for the saints who remain faithful, God will always keep an eye on the saints. As bad as it will look, things will get better, because eventually the king will come, and he'll rescue his church, rescue his believers from the trouble, and then when he comes again and takes us away from all the tribulation of this world to heaven, everything will be well. And thank you, Lord. But it was scary. We talked about government and stuff and which way government's going and different governments in the past and how distressing it can be when we look at everything going around us, right? But who ultimately is in charge? I'm glad you said that, not somebody else. He's the one in control. He's the one that's on the throne. No matter how bad things get, we have to keep reminding each other. So we need to be watchful, not just for Jesus, because he will come again, right? He is coming again. He's going to restore his kingdom. He's going to build a new kingdom in heaven, and we want to be part of that. And how sad it will be for those who fall asleep in their faith and give up their faith because things get bad. And they say, well, where's God in this? Well, he's right in the middle of it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Right? Okay, so anyway, that was heavy stuff yesterday. Heavy, heavy stuff. But it was a good reminder that no matter how bad things get, even in the future, it will get better. This too shall pass, right? So we need to be not just watching out for Jesus, but also watching out for the evil and the temptation that comes around us. What did Jesus say to his friends when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane before he's going to be crucified, and he asked for them to pray? He said, watch and pray that you may not fall into temptation. He said, in other words, guys, I need to pray with. I need some help here. I need some friends. Will you please watch and pray with me? And what happened? Jesus came back. They're falling asleep. Did they keep alert, watchful? Hardly. Oh, what, Jesus? What? Totally oblivious. What's going on? They didn't get it really till the Holy Spirit opened up their eyes and lightened up their hearts. Then they were not so dull, and then they had discernment. I was not taught a lot in the seminary, but later in my doctoral program was about prayer groups and being watchful. And that some people have the gift to be intercessors, and not just intercessors, but through dreams and visions and just keeping alert, have a sense of what's going to happen in the future to the country, to the church, to the neighborhood, and they'll be called watchers. And there's one program called Prayer Watch International, where they'll go all over the world and pray over areas that they feel like it's a hot spot, something's going to happen. And even some people in the in intelligence agencies and the military and police, there are Christians that will communicate confidentially with certain prayer warriors all over the country who are leaders in prayer watch movements, that they can pray. For instance, there was something that was going on, a drug deal that people knew about in our border here between Mexico and Arizona. And they sent out a confidential report to a few of us that are prayer intercessors that we pray something was about to happen, and that pray that the border patrol are kept safe and this drug deal is interrupted by God. And it had story after story of God intervening before something bad was going to happen, whether there or all over the world. Tragedies, terrorist attacks that were stopped, not just by intelligence, but also by prayer. The people were praying that these intelligence officers would have their eyes open and their ears open to hear and to see what could happen, and that God would even whisper his secrets, his mysteries, to those in authority. And for those who can listen to God and discern God, can then warn God's people of what can happen. It's a lot better to be prepared for an accident than just being caught unaware, right? To know ahead of time, to watch out, be ready. So that's, again, a very important theme here, to watch out for Jesus, watch for him, watch out for evil, but also watch out for one another. Remember Cain and Abel, the whole story, right? And he said, am I my brother's keeper? How do I know where he is? Well, yeah, you are your brother's keeper. And we are our brother's and sister's keeper. So if one part of the body of Christ is hurting, we all should feel and come to the aid. Not just Pastor Rick. Well, let's call Pastor. No. The church, you're part of the body. I'm part of the body. We all have ways to minister and to love and to serve. And the churches that are alive, as you know, are the ones where everybody loves, everybody serves, not just, well, let's watch Pastor Rick do it all. You know, that's the healthy church, has everybody participating and caring for one another. So when we have a prayer vigil, the word vigil means watch. When we have those here, we have like 26 things that Pastor Rick types out, usually 20, 30 things of things to watch for, to be praying for. In his recent newsletter, he talks about being showing concern and care for one another. He says, friends, in the past month there have been many trials, tragedies, hardships, and amazing grace. And he talks about the loss of one of our members who left a family of four and how devastated much of our church community was. And he talks about the fact of taking extra time to get to know some of our brothers and sisters and to be there and to care for one another, right? Because you never know what someone's going through and how they may need our help, and that how many days we have left, all of us. We have no guarantee that, well, I'll tell them tomorrow. I'll call my parents tomorrow. I'll tell them I love them tomorrow. Tomorrow may not come, right? So we're called to do it today while we still have the present, a gift from God. So we are called to watch for Jesus, to watch out for evil so it doesn't take us unaware, and to watch out for one another. Because it talks about when the Master comes, it has this very poignant thing that those who are not found faithful, it says this guy was being so angry, he cuts them to pieces, and he's had it with them because he was counting on them to be good stewards. And they fell asleep on the job, and they failed. And his name was on the line, right? They're representing him. So he's furious at these people who were supposed to represent the King of Kings, who is always present, always loving, always caring, and always there, and always prepared and faithful, that they were not being faithful, and they were not being a good representative of him. And it talks about the fact that those who have been given much are required much. And those who know a lot about the gospel and refuse to be repentant, we talked about that yesterday, I think Tim mentioned, for those who aren't repentant, just living their own little life, will have serious consequences. They knew better. So it talks about their degrees of heaven and degrees of hell. We know from these verses there's degrees. And we have been given so much. We are responsible as good stewards to be faithful to what God has given us, to pass that on to our children, our grandchildren, and to others around us, right? Not just keep it for myself. So may God help us to do that. And again, as we watch, as I look at my time doc and my watch to see how long I've gone here. You didn't bring a watch? I'm shocked. The one time I'm going to use that illustration, you don't do it. You never know with you, Doc. But anyway, as we watch, keep a watch on time and what's going on, and we're aware, we want to remember that we need Jesus so much, our Savior, because we can't do this on our own, right? We can't stay faithful. We can't. Everything depends on Him in us. Everything, right? So let's pray. Lord God, we need You so much. We are desperate for You. Forgive us for falling asleep on the job as being Christians. Lord, as we read in Revelation and Daniel, the scary things that are going to happen before You come again, we ask, Lord, that You keep us calm, secure, and peaceful, and faithful, and hopeful. That in the end, the very end, it will all turn out well for those who remain faithful to You. That You promise You will set up Your kingdom, and You promise that You keep Your eye on every single believer, and even the number of hairs are numbered, that You watch over us, even in difficulty, in trial, and tribulation, even when a church looks like it's failing and falling and not successful, when it seems like evil is overwhelming everything around us. Lord, You are still in control, and help us to look for the day when You come again for us. And then we look back, and all the suffering we've gone through will feel like nothing, because of all the glory You're going to give us and show us in heaven. Help us to watch for You, to watch what You're doing around us, to be discerning and not be dull spiritually, but to be aware that You are moving and what You're doing and what Your will is for us and others around us. Lord, help us to watch out for one another, to truly not just focus on our family, but upon others, and be caring and considerate and compassionate and kind to others. And Lord, help us to watch out for the evil around us, that we will stand watchful and vigilant and pray for others. Lord, we thank You for all the blessings You give us. Help us to be a good steward for all the things You bestow upon us. Help us to be grateful. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.